The American Bonanza Society just proved its worth. A UK midair has claimed two lives. And an early crosswind turn becomes a link in an accident chain. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, June 17, 2009. The American Bonanza Society has helped avert a potential mass grounding of 1970 and newer Beechcraft Bonanzas and Barons by convincing the FAA to extend its August 6th deadline for replacement of certain switch-type circuit breakers. The Society found that the supplier of replacement breakers was unable to keep up with demand. The approval of the FAA to the request means that owners of affected airplanes now only need to order the replacements by August 6th, be able to document the order has been placed, then do the actual replacement within 90 days of receiving them. Affected owners will also be required to notify the principal inspector in the appropriate flight standards district office, or, in the lack of a PI, notify their FISDO. Get more details in the text version of this story, dated Tuesday, at aero-news.net. An RAF pilot and a British military cadet were killed Sunday when their two-place Grob Tudor collided with a civilian glider in flight above Drayton, Abingdon. Both aircraft fell to the ground, but the pilot of the glider apparently was thrown clear of his damaged plane by the impact and managed to parachute to safety. Ministry of Defense told the London Mirror the pilot was RAF and the passenger a member of the Combined Cadet Force. The CCF is a youth organization mainly for high school students. According to its website, it's run along military lines and aims to teach practical skills which are not covered within other subjects at school. Britain's Ministry of Defense says it will conduct a complete investigation before discussing the cause. The National Transportation Safety Board has issued a probable cause report in a highly publicized mid-air collision between a Cessna 172 and a Cessna 150 over Corona, California in January of 2008. Two people in each aircraft died, as did an employee of a car dealer on the ground, who was hit by an engine that fell through the dealership's roof. The board determined that both pilots failed to see and avoid each other, but also noted that the pilot of the 150, who had just taken off, turned crosswind in the pattern at Corona before reaching 700 feet MSL, contrary to published FAA guidelines. The plane's resulting position, aggravated by a blind spot caused by the location of the 150's door pillar, contributed to the failure to spot the converging 172. A witness told investigators that neither plane appeared to alter course immediately before the impact, supporting the theory that neither pilot saw the other plane coming. Gulfstream International Airlines, facing a proposed $1.3 million fine from the FAA for violating record-keeping and pilot rest rules, has completed a detailed response to the charges. The company says its documentation shows that it was in compliance with the relevant regulations in substantially all of the findings by the FAA, and thus asserts there were no violations in those cases. The company says it recognizes, however, that information presented to the FAA during a 2008 inspection could have been confusing, resulting in differences in interpretation. To reduce that risk in the future, Gulfstream says it changed record-keeping processes last year, even in cases where it disagrees with the FAA findings. Finally, the company asserts none of the findings, even those with which Gulfstream concurred, involved safety of flight issues. The response puts the ball back in the FAA's court. Up next on ANN, the UAW strikes Bell Helicopter in Texas. Air Canada makes progress in avoiding bankruptcy. And Boeing gears up for the restart of KCX. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for or speech frequencies in extremely high noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 17th. I'm Paul Platt. United Auto Workers Local 218 has gone on strike effective midnight Sunday at Bell Helicopter in Hearst, Texas. The union rejected the company's last best offer for a three-year contract, despite a reported 18% pay increase over 3 years. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram says workers rejected a higher percentage of health care premiums to be paid by the workers and the outsourcing of janitorial jobs currently done by union members. The company has expressed disappointment, noting that those 44 janitorial workers were to be absorbed into other positions, most of them with higher pay. Bell spokesman Tom Dolny told the paper, quote, "The company is determined to keep the negotiations process continuing until a satisfactory solution is reached," unquote. The union represents workers employed at Bell's Tarrant County, Texas manufacturing plants near Fort Worth, where parts and assemblies for civilian helicopters, the V-22 Osprey, and H-1 military helicopters are made. Air Canada now reports all five of its employee unions have agreed to a hiatus in company pension fund contributions to help the carrier avoid its second bankruptcy in 6 years. The Canadian Press reports the last two unions to reach agreements are the Air Canada Pilots Association and the Canadian Union of Public Employees representing flight attendants. Like any new contract, the agreements are still subject to approval by majorities among 3,200 individual pilots and 6,700 flight attendants. The contracts must also be approved by the Canadian government and the airline's board of directors. The pension concessions are also contingent on Air Canada raising additional financing. The airline is fighting to preserve a minimum of $800 million cash on hand, without which a major credit card processor has threatened to start withholding customer funds until after flights are actually accomplished. The sudden taking up of slack in the airline's cash flow, which would result, is widely seen as unsurvivable for Air Canada. The U.S. Department of Defense is expected to reopen bidding next week for the KCX aerial tanker contract. Boeing says it'll be ready with proposals for tankers based on either its 767 or 777 airliners. In the last round of bidding, Boeing proposed a 767-based tanker, but despite what appeared to be a plane which more closely matched the original bid specs, Boeing lost out in February last year to a larger multi-role transport proposed by Northrop Grumman and Eads based on the Airbus A330. That award was overturned on appeal from Boeing. Richard Abulafia of the Teal Group told Bloomberg, quote, "The 777 solves the technology and additional cargo capability questions, but it increases cost and might be too much plane for the requirement. On the other hand, if there is a split between Boeing and the Airbus A330 platform, the two planes complement each other nicely," unquote. After two contentious rounds of bidding, both of which ended in successful appeals by the loser, some in Congress are talking about splitting the contract between the two contenders. Still ahead, Airbus snags the first big order at Paris. Pratt & Whitney profits from new engine orders. And a second Dreamliner begins fuel testing. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, June 17th. I'm Paul Platt. The Paris Air Show is celebrating its 100th year and opened on Monday to uncertain expectations. Organizers say the exhibit floor was sold out, but a rough global economy is expected to limit news of major business transactions. But there is some business being done. Qatar Airways has signed a firm contract for 24 Airbus A320 family aircraft, including the firming up of a contract for 4 A321s announced at Farnborough last year. Qatar's current fleet includes 19 A320 series planes, 4 A340-600s, and 29 A330s. The airline also has orders placed for the A380 and the A350 XWB. Also from Paris, Air China and Qatar Airways have selected International Aero Engines V2500 power plants for their new fleets of Airbus A320s. Deliveries for Air China start in April 2010. There was no date set for Qatar Airways. Each contract is valued at more than $233 million to IAE partner Pratt & Whitney. The V2500 Select 1 build standard delivers an additional 1% fuel burn advantage, with a corresponding reduction in CO2 emissions. IAE also claims it improves time on wing by up to 20% and is compliant with the most stringent standards for emissions of oxides of nitrogen. The engine entered service in October of last year. And finally, it's getting closer. Boeing says it has a second 787 Dreamliner on the flight line to begin fuel testing. The company is pressing to meet an announced expectation of making a first flight by the end of this month. Boeing has also announced that the first flight will be made by an aircraft painted in the livery of All Nippon Airways. Scott Fancher, VP and General Manager of the 787 program, commented, quote, ANA will be the first to fly the 787 Dreamliner in commercial service. We are honored to fly in ANA livery throughout the flight test program as a tribute to our partnership in bringing this all-new airplane to market, unquote. The 787 Dreamliner currently has 865 orders from 56 airlines. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell shares a conversation with pioneering aviation author Ann Cooper. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.